I'm leaving it behind me. Hello, sunshine, come with me. I feel something new inside me. I hear the birds singing, now my alarm's ringing. Get up, get up, hey. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, stepping on my way. Good morning, my strength to give me just what I need. And I can feel the hope that's rising in me. Good morning, well, good Thursday morning, everybody. How you all doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Today, we have no characters coming in here at the studio. We don't have any biblical teaching that I've got today. Today's a very special podcast that I want you guys to hear that really touched my life yesterday as I was listening on the Billy Graham channel. I'm going to be playing in its entirety from the Cove. Billy Graham had a pastor at a church before he went to his short homecoming to be with God. This man's going to share everything, which he has a book out. His name is Pastor Don Wheaton. He pastors a church. He's going to tell you guys all about it as you listen to the entirety of this program on the Billy Graham channel. I just felt it in my heart. God had instilled it in my heart. He said, you need to play that and you need to share it. So we are in its entirety, guys. Again, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, feel free to email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Up here at Faith Studio One, our email address is morningsbrew@gmail.com. Now from the Cove, and you're probably going to hear the Billy Graham channel announced a couple of times. Y'all enjoy this. Let me know what you think. Again, this is from the Cove, Dr. Don Wheaton. And this was from a live audience. Enjoy.
From the Cove, a series of conversations with people personally impacted by the life and ministry of Billy Graham. We have these conversations in front of a live audience at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. This edition features the man who served as Billy Graham's pastor, Dr. Don Wilton. And it was recorded just before COVID restrictions went into effect early last year. Now, here is your host for From The Cove, Phil Fleischman.
Welcome to this edition of From the Cove. Our guest is Dr. Don Wilton. He is senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, South Carolina, and he is also the man who served as Billy Graham's pastor. I'm looking forward to jumping into our conversation with Dr. Wilton, including some questions from the audience. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about the Cove. Its full name is the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, and it sits in the mountains of western North Carolina, just outside of Asheville. We are sitting in front of a wall of windows that look out over hundreds of acres of beautiful, pristine mountains and valleys, and it truly is a breathtaking sight here. The Cove was the dream of Billy and Ruth Graham. They wanted to provide a retreat where people could leave the demands of daily life, study God's word, and be trained to share their faith. And that is exactly what happens here, isn't it? You can learn a lot more about the Cove, including how you can arrange your own visit and your own stay here by going to their website. Very easy to remember. It is thecove.org. That's thecove.org. And you can also follow the Cove on Facebook and Instagram. Dr. Don Wilton has been a teacher here at the Cove many, many times, and he also knew Billy and Ruth Graham very well. So let's have a round of applause for Dr. Don Wilton. Wow, that is awesome. That is a tremendous welcome for Dr. Wilton, isn't it?
It really is. It's overwhelming.
Well, it is well-deserved, though. Well-deserved. Yes. So, Dr. Wilton, you served as Billy Graham's pastor for how many years?
Well, I began my relationship with him back in 1993. Mm-hmm. And after visiting with him and developing what only God can really call a friendship that's just so hard to describe, 14 years later, mm-hmm. in 2008, Mr. Graham called me in, and I went up to the home as I was accustomed to doing, and half the office staff were there, Dr. David Bruce, and just people that meant so much to mm-hmm. Mr. Graham, right. And it was on that occasion, it was just the most wonderful, and he just spoke. He said, I can't describe to you the friendship that I have with Don, mm-hmm. and what God has done for me through him and together. And I want to formalize that. And he's not only my friend, but he's my confidant. And I share my life with him. And I can't live without a pastor.
Yeah.
He asked me if I would become formally his pastor, and he formally joined First Baptist Church in Spartanburg.
Yes. Yeah, and we're going to talk about the importance of Billy Graham having a pastor. But when we say Billy Graham's pastor, I think to a lot of us that can seem pretty intimidating, you know, yeah. Billy Graham's pastor. Tell us first, you mentioned that a little bit, but how did you come to be in that role? And secondly, what did that look like? How did you serve him as his pastor?
Well, it began with an invitation from mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Graham to come and visit them. And I had served on the Billy Graham Schools of Evangelism for quite a number of years in many different places. And there'd been associations, but this specific invitation began really an instant friendship. On that first official visit, we sat for probably 4 hours drinking tea and laughing together. It was like an instant friendship, and it translated itself into an intimacy.
And he called you, though, right, after seeing you on television?
He did.
Right?
He did. It was my first message, and walked out and walked into my office at the church. My phone was ringing. The voice on the other side said, "This is Billy Graham." I don't want to divulge any secrets, but I did want to say, yes, and I'm the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, you know, when I shared some of these stories with Mr. Graham over the years, he would laugh his head off. He loved hearing those stories about real life. You can just imagine, you know, a young person like myself.
And
it like was the trigger.
Yeah.
It just began something that only God can do.
Yeah, yeah. So he was so touched by seeing you and by seeing your preaching that he called you and began that relationship.
Yes, and you know, there was an occasion some 18, maybe 20 years later when a very high-ranking person was visiting with him, and I had the privilege of being there, as I was from time to time. And this particular well-known person turned to Mr. Graham and said to him, Dr. Graham, how did this relationship between you and this man, Don Wilton, how did that come about? Because he obviously saw the close personal friendship. And I'll never forget Mr. Graham's answer. Mm-hmm. He looked up and he said one word, God. Mm-hmm. And I've pondered that, because we believers, how do you put these things together? How it doesn't make sense, right, that some little boy who grew up in Zululand in Africa would meet.
Right. Or any more sense than it does that a farm boy from Charlotte, North Carolina would grow up to be an ambassador to
And that's what Mr. Graham would say to me. Right. I mean, many times, in many of our discussions, he would go back to the call of God. What sense is there that some farm boy in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Mordecai Ham, and friendships, and when you look at what God did in his life, it was remarkable. And that sense of awe in the presence of God never left Mr. Graham.
Till the day he died.
Till the day he died. Right. It was a profound sense of the hand of God. And that was our friendship.
Yes. We're going to get into a lot of specifics of what your ministry and friendship look like. But let me ask broadly first, what was it like to be Billy Graham's pastor? What did that look like? What did it involve?
Well, every time I went and was with him or talked to him or conversed with him, but mostly in his presence. The uniqueness of our relationship is that 95% of the time we were on our own. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege for all those years of sitting at the feet of Mr. Graham, and that's a literal term. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just figurative. I had the privilege, at God's invitation and Mr. Graham's consent, to be able to sit with him, and we talked. And we talked about everything. Mm. And he shared with me from his heart. Mm-hmm. And he would say to me in many different ways, Don, I cannot go through life. I don't want to go through life without my pastor. Mm. And this is something that you will hear, and our listeners will hear me struggle with, because how do you define this? Why would a man so great, so beloved, what need would he have of a nobody, a somebody, just somebody else, a pastor of a church? I didn't have anything to that I could match Mr. Graham. And yet, he vested in me, and it wasn't about him. It was about, everything was turned on its head. Everything was backwards. And yet, not if you see it in the light of Jesus.
Right.
You would have thought, had you been a fly on the wall, that I was always the most important person sitting there. Mm. Now, try and figure that out. It's just silly.
Yeah.
Right? But it was Mr. Graham. And what he felt in regards to the vital role that we play in supporting one another, and the value of prayer, and the honor he placed on the call of God.
You've already begun to answer this question, but I'd like to elaborate on it a little bit. It was important for Mr. Graham to be able to point to you and say, he's my pastor, right? It was important for him to know that he had a pastor in his life.
Evidently, it was extremely important. Mm-hmm. He relished telling people that. He relished telling me that. It was of a very high priority to him. And when we were with some of the most beloved people, George Beverly Shea and dear Cliff Barrows, these men that were so deeply connected into the heartbeat, the way he would talk about me to those who were so much more closer to him than I could ever be was in and of itself a mark of his spiritual understanding of this relationship that God had allowed to evolve and happen between Pastor and this dear man, Mr. Graham.
Yes. But the pressure that had to be on Mr. Graham, the exhaustive schedule that he kept, the pressure to go up in front of a stadium full of people and share the gospel night after night after night after week after week after week, he needed a pastor in his life.
That's what I carried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he would tell me things and share things with me that was so deep in his heart. Mm. We wept together.
Mm.
I remember one time we were sitting there and he said, "Don, don't cry, don't cry." And I said, "Mr. Graham, I just can't help it. I just had a tear running down my cheek." He said, "You don't have to do this. This is me." I said, "But Mr. Graham, I am doing it. I'm carrying this with you." And every time I did that, he would be carrying 10 more things of mine with him. He relished the tartar. Mm-hmm. It was a shared thing. This was not a one-way. He counseled me at the very deepest level. He taught me so very much, not just about theology and the Word of God, but about disposition and grace and humility and speaking and how to interact and how to... I would just watch him. He didn't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. I just watch him.
Sure.
And every time I left that home in Montreat, in some ways, I would feel, I think this is what Moses must have felt.
I was thinking about Moses as you described this, yes.
And I mean no disrespect to my people, but it was like coming back down into reality, you know.
And holding his hands up, holding his arms up.
Well, in so many different ways. And that covered, one will remember that when I met Mr. Graham, he was in his like early 70s, and he passed away at basically the age of 100. And so the Lord gave to me the privilege of holding his hand in this extended journey into heaven. And he actually used that word. He actually said that to me one time. He said, "Don, I want you to hold my hand as I journey into heaven." Mm. And he had such a profound sense of the reality of our personal walk with the Lord into the beauty of the reality of our life in heaven together.
Mm.
And that was a journey. It was his journey. I was walking with him in that journey through all the different changes of life and the issues and the challenges of life as they went all the way until the Lord Jesus called him home.
You are listening to From the Cove, a conversation with Billy Graham's pastor, Dr. Don Wilton. This is the Billy Graham Channel on Sirius XM. Billy Graham was famously and genuinely humble. He was always willing to learn from others. And I'm curious to hear, now you just touched on this, but I'd like to elaborate on this a little bit. I'm curious to hear about some of the things that you learned from each other, because you've made it very clear that you did, it was a two-way relationship. Talk a little bit about what you learned from each other, some examples of that.
I wish I could talk about what he learned from me. I'm not sure that I could come up with a single thing. I learned so much from Mr. Graham. I learned what it means to be the face of God. Excuse my silence. Because if I said that to Mr. Graham, he would not be very happy with me. Because his humility was so genuine that we, those of us who are with him, we saw the Lord Jesus in his life, and we knew it. What he taught me was that God loves, and what that love looks like, that God is the God of grace, and what that grace looks like, that God is the God of mercy, and what that looks like, that God is long-suffering, and what that looks like, that God is righteous, and what that looks like. And one could go through the attributes of God. And the irony of this is that at any point in that learning curve, Mr. Graham would be flabbergasted at the very suggestion or notion that he might be that person. Because he himself found no worth in himself. But the irony was that the lower he was, which is who he was, the greater the Shekinah glory came radiating through his life and his testimony. And even in the intimacy, playing with the dogs, chasing them on the lawn, talking about family, going and walking around pathways, preaching together, trying to figure out things in the Bible, teasing one another relentlessly, laughing, eating food together, planning, praying relentlessly together, talking about issues, about deep concerns, trying to find answers to life's dilemmas, the pain of grief through the passing of his most beloved Mrs. Graham. And the, all these things, the profound love that he had for his wonderful children and for the extended family, and praying together in that regard. And you saw the face of God in him, and it never changed. Most people, the closer you get to them, the more you realize they have clay feet. For me, it was the exact opposite with Dr. Graham. The closer I got to him, the more I sensed the power and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in his life.
Well, another characteristic was his sense of humor, though, too, right? Talk about his sense of humor, or any particular examples you have of that humor being manifested.
Well, I'll preface it. One of the things he loved about me was that I could really pull his leg and get away with it. It took me a few years, you know. In the early days, I had to think, now, wait a minute, this is Dr. Graham here. But I very quickly came to realize, because he would prod me. And he and I would sit there and just laugh. I used to love it when he would laugh his head off. It just made me so happy. And I actually, especially in some of the times when maybe he wasn't feeling quite as well, I would love to make him laugh. Like one time we were doing, you know, Franklin gave me the great privilege of working with him with all of My Hope America. And so I was the one who had the privilege of sitting there, and he was talking to me, and all the interviewing over months and months with BGA. But as an example, we would get ready, and the lady, precious lady, would come and start doing a little makeup on his face. And he never got tired of it, you know. He'd look and he'd say, "Excuse me, why are you putting that on my face?" To which the answer would be, "Well, Mr. Graham, you need this. This is what you're doing it to me. Don there needs it a lot more than I do." He just thought that was so funny. You know, and then I'd sit there and I'd say, "Funny, hey, funny." You know, back at him, and it would be like, I'm saying this very respectfully, like two teenagers having this little time together, but it just lifted up his spirits, you know. Yeah. I remember one time, one of my favorite stories, because we ate a lot together, you know. And we'd go and get ribs and smuggle all kinds of food, and they would always prepare wonderful meals. But we'd sit there and eat, and my favorite story of all is eating there, and he loved yogurt. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any yogurt. I'm sitting there, and he looks over, and he says, "I didn't have any yogurt." He said, "Don, have some of my yogurt." I said, "Well, thank you so much." I got my spoon, took a little taste. He said, "What do you?" I said, "Oh, that's just delicious yogurt." He said, "Well, have some more." So I reached over and I took another little bit. Well, then I took a little license. I thought, well, what is this? You know, has he got to invite me to do this? And it was delicious yogurt, and there it is. And he's a Christian. He's going to let me have some, right?
Right.
So I just took a little more, and I took a little more. He reached over and pushed a button on the table. And Amy, one of the most precious ladies up there, comes through and says, can I help you, Mr. Graham? He said, yeah, would you mind getting me some more yogurt? She walks over to the fridge, opens the refrigerator, starts putting in. He says, and while you're there, get Dr. Wilton his own yogurt. He's stealing all of mine.
Oh, that is a great story. So many more, too.
I mean, we would... they were always little things because he didn't have he wasn't a major laughy, jovial in that sense, you know, much like me. Mr. Graham didn't cut up, but his humor, lovely man. My favorite thing, I'm getting off on an angle. I love doing this to him. We'd have somebody there and I'd look, all seriousness, I'd say to the guest, you know, I said, man, I've had so many wonderful successes, but the single biggest failure in my life, do you know what it is? And the guest, you know, would say, no, what is it? I said, I've never been able to teach Mr. Graham how to talk properly.
I think this is a good time to take a question from the audience. Let's see, one of them is Susan from Columbus, Indiana. Are you here, Susan?
Of course, filtered through God's word about fear and anxiety. What fears, anxieties did Reverend Graham struggle with? Thank you.
Well, I think that's a fair question. You know, when you talk about anxiety, I mean, fears, Mr. Graham was a wonderful husband and a father and a grandfather and had a lot of aches and pains and diagnoses and doctor's visits, and you know, put yourself in that, and he went through the whole gamut of all those things, and so one would obviously we had many opportunities over the years, and particularly in the latter years of praying through some of the challenges that some of these things would present to him. But I would say that if I may, Phil, suggest to you that the greatest that I would say would be his own sense of unworthiness. And to the day Mr. Graham went to heaven, there was such a deep, palpable sense that he considered himself so unworthy of anything, of the love of God, of the right to anything. His unworthiness was his greatest spiritual anxiety. We engaged in a perpetual endeavor on dear Mr. Graham's part to lay himself before the Lord. I don't know how many times I heard him ask the Lord to forgive him. And every time that happened, my heart would say, but surely not, you know. And then I would find myself saying, you know, if Mr. Graham feels this way, how do you think I feel? So I'm not anywhere near where he is. And I came to understand that the hallmark of this man's genuineness in his relationship with the Lord was found in his genuine spiritual anxiety in relation to the holiness of God. I hope that makes sense. You'll spend your life trying to make sense out of it. Because from my point of view, I'm sitting with this dear man who, in my mind, is living for the Lord in his private life, in his personal life, and his practicing life. He's everything, and yet he constantly considers himself unworthy of anything related to the Lord Jesus, because Jesus meant everything to him. And so, yes, within the context of life as we all experience it, that would have been the governing principle of his greatest anxiety. I hesitate to use that word, but it was perpetual. It bothered him. And he would say to me, Don, if you're a believer, your sin has to bother you. Otherwise, you're not a believer. Now, I want you to just think about that. If sin doesn't bother you, then evidently you don't have the Spirit in you. That's what John tells us in 1 John. And if you don't have the Spirit in you, you're not a believer. Right? This is the means by which we know, because the Spirit of God is the one who bothers us. When we give our lives to Christ, we become sensitized to sin. It's the Spirit that sensitizes us to that. So there were times that I would try and talk him out of his botheration. And then I would realize that I was not doing the right thing. I wasn't there to agree with his botheration. I was there to pray with him in his endeavor to have peace with God as a wonderful believing Christian. There's nobody more unhappy than a Christian, a believer, who lives with unconfessed sin in their life.
You are listening to From the Cove, a conversation with Billy Graham's pastor, Dr. Don Wilton. This is the Billy Graham Channel on Sirius XM.
And we're continuing on. This is CA on the iHeartRadio Network on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. As we continue to listen on this very special edition, Dr. Billy Graham's pastor, former pastor, of course he's gone on to be with the Lord. His name is Dr. Don Wilton, as he continues to share his thoughts from the Cove. This was a pre-taped. I wanted you guys to hear this. And again, if you have any questions, comments, feel free to let me know, guys. You can email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. I hope you're enjoying listening to the memories of the late Billy Graham from Dr. Don Wilton. Again, that's Billy Graham's pastor. We continue on.
Dr. Wilton, you mentioned that you had worked very closely with Mr. Graham on his last two televised messages. Those were called The Cross and Heaven. And he was in his 90s at the time. And is it safe to assume that he was thinking a lot about heaven and the cross at that point in his life?
At a very extreme level. He always did.
Mm-hmm.
When Mrs. Graham was picked up by the angels and taken into the presence of the Lord Jesus, I saw and heard and talked for days and months on end about the reality of heaven, because he loved her so much until he was reunited with her. It was one of the joys we talked about when Mr. Graham was seated at the feast table of the king. I think Mrs. Graham was standing there saying, Billy, it's about time. And if you knew Mrs. Graham, that's very appropriate. And he just loved her. But it translated itself into his passionate understanding of the reality of heaven. My hope, and the taping that we did that was used so powerfully by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
And those messages were parts of the My Hope campaign for 2 years running, the heaven and the cross.
Yes, and thousands of people have come to know Christ and continue. It was in many ways somehow the last message that Mr. Graham preached. All the preparation we did, all the manuscripts that I had from messages preached over all the years and the many hours upon hours that he and I would spend together in preparation for this, considering his age, and preparing him for the rigors of the interview and the sets and the setup and all those things. It was a wonderful privilege.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of life with Christ in heaven, knowing one another, seeing one another, the promise of eternal life, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, was so real.
Yes.
And it was an amazing thing because, you know, I was probably the one that had the greatest privilege of being with him before he went in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, to the glory of the Lord, at his age, he didn't always necessarily feel prepared or ready physically to be able to do what was necessary, but the Spirit of the living God would take over.
Yes.
time and time and time and time again. And at the center of all of this was heaven is real. God loves you. And I want you to know you can give your heart to Jesus, be forgiven of your sin. And when you do, he's going to write your name in God's book in heaven. I want you to give your heart to Jesus today. And it would well up within him.
And he understood that the only way that was possible was because of the cross of Christ. So it was two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Everything came to the cross of Christ. Yeah. And permeated our discussions, spiritual, theological discussions over all the years, the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And you know what joy I have today in watching Franklin as he preaches and he proclaims, and Will Graham and preaching and proclaiming and standing on the cross. Look at the work of the Cove with all this teaching. It is centered, is Christ-centered, and it comes out of the heart of Ruth and Billy Graham and their Christ cross-centeredness and their belief and strong conviction that this is real and we will see him again. Amen. We'll be together.
That's right. I think this is a good time for a question from Tom Klein from Wichita, Kansas.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, thanks. How is Mr. Graham's passion for Jesus expressed in his later years?
Well, in his soul spirit, as the world narrowed for Mr. Graham and his physical limitations became more and more evident. When we were doing My Hope, I'll just say this very briefly as an illustration, because he was in his 90s, and he just leant over to me one time and he said, Don, I've just got to stop. And so I asked everybody if we could, I just told everybody we would stop and asked if they would be kind enough to bring us another cup of coffee, which we love to do. And he and I just, and everybody respected our privacy, so the film crews and everybody didn't get into our space, so to speak, yes. If I can say that respectfully. And Mr. Graham needed to tell me something. And he looked at me and he said to me, Don, I just can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I'm forgetting. I said to him, Mr. Graham, let's pray together, and after we pray, I want you to tell me what you think we need to do. So we prayed together, and he looked up at me, and he said, without hesitating, he said, Don, would you do something for me? I said, yes, sir. He said, would you just read a line, and then I'll just repeat it, and then just read the next line, and I'll just repeat. I said, of course I'll do that, Mr. Graham, because these were his words. And so we had everything ready, and I looked at him, smiled at him, and I read the first line. And he just repeated it just exactly, accepting. He didn't stop. He just picked up. It wasn't in the script. He picked up, and then he went on to the next. And he was talking about the cross. And I was looking at him, and I was frozen. And there was dead quiet. And all of a sudden, I saw stadiums of the world and people of every tribe and nationality and culture. And he was talking about Jesus and about going to heaven. And it was flowing out of his eyes. And there was conviction. And we froze. I didn't know whether to sink back in my chair. I didn't know what to do. Nobody said. We just froze. And the cameras were rolling. And then all of a sudden, he stopped. And I looked at him, and I looked around, and I said, would you like another cup of coffee, Mr. Graham? And it broke the, and he said, yes. And I said, I didn't have to say anything, those precious people everywhere. And one of the folks went off and got him a cup and me a cup. I can't explain that to you. That was with him all the way. And before he died, 3 days before he died, holding his hand, put his hand over mine. He never preached. He never said anything. God was there. Heaven was right in that room.
Mr. Graham's passing, I think, for many of us, is one of those events we remember where we were when we heard about it. And I know for me, I was in morning devotions at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association when I got word of it. Tell us how you learned of his passing.
I was privileged to be the preacher all week at Samaritan's Purse at their head office in up in Boone, North Carolina, at Franklin's invitation. And I was doing a week-long Bible study series to all the people that are employed with Samaritan's Purse. On that particular morning, I got up to do the Bible study, and I had about an hour, and the place was packed, and we were on television and going to all the different centers, and I got halfway through my message. And my wife, Karen, was with me. She was sitting on the front row at one of the tables, and all of a sudden, in the middle of my message, I saw people get up. There was something going on. And then somebody else. And then Ron Wilcox, who leads Samaritan's Purse, he got up. And then this other person got up. And I knew something had happened. I said to myself, something's happened. Has there been a road accident? Franklin had left to go to Texas. Something happened to Franklin. It never crossed my mind. Never thought. And I said, Lord, in my heart, but the air had gone out of the room, so to speak. Nobody was listening to me. And you could feel the whispering going on. And I looked down, and my wife wrote on a piece of paper in big letters. And I looked down and read and said, Mr. Graham has gone to heaven. And I looked. And I never said another word. We walked straight out the door. I got into my motor car and I came to the Cove. And I can't describe to you that journey. And what God began to do from that moment through the life and witness of Billy Graham. It is absolutely the most amazing testimony I have ever and continue to bear witness to.
Explain what you mean by that.
Where I sit here at the Cove, this place Mr. Graham loves so well. Mr. Graham's casket was right here. From every facet, the Spirit of the Lord was so evident. In every aspect of a man's funeral service, going to Charlotte, the motorcades, flying to Washington, with Mr. Graham's body, marching into the rotunda of the capital of the United States of America, watching, listening, being there as Michael W. Smith played Just As I Am before the justices of the Supreme Court and the President of the United States and members from both sides of the aisle, the motorcades, being at the library, listening to those amazing testimonies from those five Grahams that I will never forget. Sensing the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Mr. Graham's life speaking, so to speak, from the grave. And the thousands upon thousands of people around the world listening to this testimony, to all these well-known and accomplished people who all arrived in Charlotte, went to the same little parking lots and got on the same shuttle buses to come in sit in the same little tent, all under the same roof, with one purpose in mind, and that is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ through the life and testimony of Dr. Billy Graham. What a privilege. And the greatest message, I just before we carried Mr. Graham out, the president and the vice president had come in to meet with the family at Mr. Graham's casket at the library. And just before we escorted Mr. Graham out into the tent for the funeral service, I just found myself walking over and I just stood at Mr. Graham's casket. I wish I could. It doesn't matter to me. I wish I could remember what I said, but I just had a little chat with him. I don't know. I asked him what he wanted to eat. I do know I looked at him and I said, well, Brother Billy, you're there, aren't you? Thank you for showing us who Jesus is. I know you're so happy to be with Miss Ruth. And as I said that, the sun came through the cross. You can see the pictures for yourself. Through the cross at that beautiful Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. And as it hit that cross, the sun blazoned out and stretched out. And I felt like it was sun that was saying, move out the way, Don Wilton. And that beam of sunlight from that cross spread itself over the top of that casket. And I knew. That was the face of Jesus saying, yes, it's about the cross. It's all about me. I heard Mr. Graham, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Yes. And there it was, right there. And I said to Mr. Graham, you told me so, didn't you? But you didn't just tell me so. Mr. Graham, you showed me so. You showed me in your life. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for showing us the cross. Thank you for showing us what it means to be sold out for Jesus. Thank you for being a living testimony. Thank you for loving the least of us. Thank you, Jesus, for this man of God. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord. Grateful for a beautiful family who just accepted me. For Franklin and Anne. And for Ruth and Gigi and for Ned. The way they just loved me. Just accepted me and just allowed me to sit at the feet of their father. And they just so precious to me. The whole family.
We have time for one more question from the audience.
Yeah.
All right. How about Peggy from Spruce Pine, North Carolina?
Hello, Peggy.
Of all the moments you spent with Reverend Graham, what was the most important one?
You know, Peggy, I think that I'm going to say to you, there were so many of those. But I suppose I've just shared with you about during that time at his funeral service. But I think for me personally, it would have been the last time that I was actually with Mr. Graham, which was the Friday before the Lord Jesus called him home. And it was that, I don't remember the time, but it could have been as much as 3 hours that I sat next to him. And it's easy to look back in reflection because the Lord called him home. But he was very frail. And there was not a lot to say. And his eyes would lit up when I walked in the room. And I sat next to him. And I put my right arm around his shoulder, which was not uncommon for me to do that. I just put my arm around his shoulder. And we sat there for the longest time. I whispered things and said things to him. And sometimes I just talked. He thought I talked too much, he told me a couple of times. And then he took a very frail hand. This hand of mine was sitting right there, like this. And he brought his hand over and he put his very frail hand on top of mine. And we just held hands. We never said another word. And after a long period of time, I said, Mr. Graham, I have to go now. But we'll see each other again. I love you. Thank you for teaching me so much. I gave him a very gentle hug and turned around, and I remember because we were in his study, and I turned around and I took one more look at him. I didn't know that would be the last time I'd see him alive. But I walked out of there, and somehow deep in my heart today, looking back, I think Mr. Graham preached another whole sermon to me on that day. And the sermon was, you don't have to say something. Just be. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have a microphone. Just be. Just be the person God has called you to be.
Dr. Wilton, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you spending this time with us and sharing so many special private memories of Dr. Graham here on the Billy Graham Channel. You have been listening to From the Cove, a conversation with Billy Graham's pastor, Dr. Don Wilton. I'm Phil Fleischman. Let's thank Dr. Wilton with a round
thank
of applause.
Thank you so much.
People like me dream of filling auditoriums and hopefully making some kind of difference in the lives of others. There's a man I'm proud to know who has definitely filled not only churches and auditoriums, but stadiums and coliseums for decades. Not just here, but around the world. He stood before millions, and he sat with world leaders. Everywhere he's gone, he's taken the message of the gospel, and the world is different because of that one man. That man's name is Billy Graham. And tonight, we pay tribute to the heart of this servant. Dr. Graham, this one's for you.
Life for you. Just leave it to me.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the Cove. I wanted to play it on the Billy Graham channel. What I decided to do, I've been doing a lot of prayers about this, and what I'm going to do at least once or twice a week along with our podcast show, we're going to take a little break from the Spotlight Saturdays. So there's going to be some days where maybe one day a week or maybe twice a week, I am going to incorporate some Billy Graham lessons. I just feel it. He was America's pastor. He knows the Bible, just like a lot of great pastors out there in today's time do. But I've had people email me and said, CA, is there any possible chance of getting some timeless messages on your podcast show? We enjoy your Bible teaching too, but we also love the fact that you mentioned a lot about Billy Graham. Absolutely. In fact, I prayed about it, and God said, bring it aboard. So I am. I'm going to be humble and obedient. So either once or twice a week on our podcast show, we're going to be having a special Billy Graham lesson. It may be on a Saturday, maybe on a Thursday, who knows when. But today's special episode, I wanted to share with you guys from the Billy Graham channel. I want to thank the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association for letting us, you know, share this, because they like to spread the word, and that's what we're doing. We're spreading the word about Jesus. Isn't it nice to hear from Billy Graham's pastor and share his memories of what it was like to be with Dr. Graham? He shared another thing he shared. I don't know if he mentioned on this or not, but Billy Graham, when he approached Dr. Graham, he never wanted to be called Dr. Graham. He just wanted to be, he said, call me Billy. And Pastor Don Wilton said, well, it's hard for me to call you that, Mr. Graham. He said, how about this? He said, how about near the end, getting close to near the end of Billy Graham's life when he got called home to be with the Lord. He said, how about I call you Brother Billy? I thought that was rather touching. I heard that last night, and I prayed about this, and the taping, I heard it on the Cove. It was before the COVID had hit, and God should share that. I want to thank Franklin Graham, Chrissy Lynch Graham. I want to thank you guys for letting us share this on the Morning Brew Christian podcast show. I'm a big supporter of the Billy Graham Association. And y'all share this podcast. Maybe you can reach somebody who wants to know about Jesus. We are the arms and the feet for Jesus. You see, the breakdown of it is Billy Graham, He was a famous evangelist. But it wasn't about him. It was about God. And that's the way it should be. And in today's time, I believe pastors, and I'm not downing pastors, okay, please don't take this as a rant, but a lot of people, it's about me, me, and me. We need to go back to the basics of life. So I've been doing a lot of heavy prayer about this, and we are going to incorporate some of Billy Graham's timeless messages on our show. I will let you know when we do. That way you guys can be sure to tune in and share it, and maybe we can all together reach somebody, okay? If you have any questions, comments, y'all feel free. Morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. And I encourage you, continue to read your Bible, continue to learn, continue to indulge. Every day is an indulging day. We learn something different. Kindness, being good to people, being the arms and the feet for Jesus. It is a lost world, guys. It's our job. It's our mission as a body of believers. I feel Christ right now inside of me, the Holy Spirit dwelling in me to share this, and I can't plead it enough. If you have Christ in your life, share the gospel. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of hurting people out there that need us, that need brothers and sisters in Christ. My question to you, are you going to be the next Billy Graham? You don't have to be anybody famous. I'm not famous. I'm just me. Just be you. And that's all Billy Graham wanted to be known at, was being just him. Okay? So let's lead off in a prayer. Thank you so much for listening to this special edition. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, we want to be the arms and the feet for you. And we thank you for everything. We love you. Pray you just give us the guidance that we need to have a great Thursday. And if anybody wants to share this podcast, they can. For we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Guys, before I let you go, if you want to like us on Facebook, feel free. The Morning Brew Christian Podcast, check the like button. I'm also on Apple Podcasting. Subscribe for free. Google Podcasts, same thing, subscribe. Syndicated on iHeartRadio Network or iHeartRadio. Subscribe. Free. It's all free. I'm never going to charge, okay? If you're on TuneIn Radio, do the same. If you're on Spotify, same thing, okay? We're going to have special guests coming on. I got things lined up, and be sure to check my live cast on our Facebook page. Like me, guys. Share it. It's important, okay? I want you to remember that the sun does rise on the other side, and I want you to enjoy life. L-I-F-E, exclamation point, dot. This is CA, your on-air personality, on the iHeartRadio Network. Y'all have a great Thursday. Bye for now.